What matters to you most this morning? You ever thought about it? I mean, really, really, what matters? And if I were to kind of ask you, just kind of on a one-on-one basis, I think you'd tell me. I really do. But sometimes we don't really know what really is mattering to us because we don't even see it when it's happening. In other words, does anybody know why they were in such a hurry for building that house? Okay, good, good. You're thinking. We're thinking about getting ready. Well, what matters most to you? What area of your life really matters most? Most of you would say, well, I really don't know. But then if I started asking you specific questions, how many beds did you make up in the last 5 years? Whoa! How many dishes did you wash? How many diapers did you change? I mean, all of a sudden these things begin to be, whoa, and how many clocks did you punch? How many zits did you pop? I mean, you know, really, what's kind of important to you? How many text messages did you send out? Emails did you answer? How many hours did you watch TV or sit in front of that computer? Or how many times did you pray? Read the Bible. Tell somebody encouraging words about Jesus. And you begin to say, well, you know what? I do a lot of those things. And because you do a lot of those things, all of a sudden, when the Lord Jesus pulls this little veil back and helps you to see how you're wired, it's going to be like putting jet fuel in a lawnmower. I mean, things are going to take off. All you have to do is allow the Lord Jesus to pull it back just a little bit and let you see. Well, when these things begin to happen, we're going to try to figure something out. We're going to look this morning, if time permits. We'll go as far as we can. We're going to look in three categories. First of all, we're going to look at the home, and we're going to talk about marriage. By the way, what's that guy in such a big hurry for? Okay, all right, anyhow. Marriage. No, marriage, which is the foundation of the home. Are we prudent or do we procrastinate? In other words, our value system places importance on the future. Work. Work is the central focus of every home. And I'm not necessarily talking about punching the clock. I'm talking about work that is being generated inside. Inside those walls, outside those walls, when you go and punch the clock. But let me ask you, are you a worker or a wimp? I mean, really, when you boil it down to it, are you a worker or a wimp? Are you prudent or do you procrastinate? Thirdly, we're going to look at the community. And we're going to ask ourselves certain questions. The community is rocked by increasing need. Folks, if you don't know it, just read it. Our community is increasing in the need that's before us. So we got to ask ourselves the question, are we kind or are we cruel to our community? Well, all of these are questions. But then I'm going to go one step further. Let me ask you, what talents do you have? I'm not talking spiritual gifts, okay? Spiritual gifts is another category, which God gives every born-again believer at least one or more gifts of the Spirit. But I'm talking about your talents. What are you good at? What do you enjoy? How are you wired? What would happen if all of a sudden you figured out how you were wired and you got together with some other people, and you put it in the plug, and all of a sudden the lightning started flashing, and the light started coming on. Would there be a difference in your life? You know, sometimes it's good to see what happens when somebody does wire in. Go ahead, Larry.
The Charlotte Eagles is a minor league professional soccer team here in Charlotte, North Carolina.
The Charlotte Eagles' focus is to use soccer as a tool to reach people for the Lord.
We're just using our talents, which is soccer, to reach the rest of the A-League and the professional soccer world that we're playing in.
It's not just about playing anymore, it's playing with a purpose. And that purpose is to present the gospel to people that haven't heard through the tool of soccer.
About 9 years ago, I think, a few guys got together in California just met together in a garage, and they were talking about sports ministry and using soccer to spread the gospel all over the world. And Charlotte was picked as the place to start a professional team so that we could play in the professional league. We could give our testimonies to kids that come to our camps. We could share the gospel with teams we play against. After the games, we could also give testimony to the fans that come out to our games. To me, one of the hardest parts of the ministry here in Charlotte and being a part of this team is witnessing to the other teams that we play against. I've always thought about, you know, what are these teams thinking of us?
I think I have a unique understanding of how other teams view the Eagles by playing against them for several years before I ended up here. I remember coming into the stadium here several times to play, and there would be Bibles on our towels in the locker room, and there'd be ministry time before. I remember being one of only three Christians on the team at the time, and how much of an encouragement it was to me, and actually getting some of the guys that weren't believers to go in there and listen to a speaker. It was really helped us as believers on another team to reach these guys, to raise some questions about what's important in life.
Some guys have come to our chapels before, and we've heard testimonies of guys coming to know the Lord through some relationships that they've built through guys on our team, and also through testimonies and gospel presentations from some of those chapels before the games.
One of the things that I've learned the past few years playing soccer is that we don't have to give up what we love in order to be effective for Christ.
God can use whatever you're good at for His glory. Even something like soccer, a sporting event, God can use it if you're willing to give it back to Him.
We've been given these talents by God so that we could use it for His ministry, and this is a brand new idea really to me, because I'm just starting to learn about it, but I'm just starting to realize how much of an impact we can have through our ministry to the whole world.
Years ago, I played selfishly for the wrong reasons, for the fame and the things that come along with soccer, the popularity, things of that nature. But now, I've realized that God can still use my talents, my abilities in that area to reach others for Him, and that it is not a selfish thing. I can give that over to Him and let Him use me through the tools that He's given me.
Whatever it is that you're good at, God gave you that talent. And I think here in Charlotte, all we're trying to do is ask God to use that talent. I think of a story from the Bible about the boy that had the 5 loaves of bread and a few small fish, and he brought his lunch to Jesus, and Jesus prayed over that lunch, prayed to His Father, He prayed to God and asked Him to multiply that. And it was just a lunch, and it was all that boy had, but they asked God to multiply it and to use it. And I think of that story, and I think about myself and the gifts that God has given me to play soccer, and I make that prayer to God that He would multiply my gift that He's given me, that other people will come to know Him through this ministry.
Matthew chapter 25 begins to tell us three stories that we're going to look at this morning. Inside of these three stories, it's people who discovered their talents. But there was something far deeper. The family covenant we're going to begin looking at inside of these stories in Matthew chapter 25. We're going to pick it up with verse 1 because we want to ask ourselves the question, are we really prepared? Are we prepared? Are you ready to hear the call of Christ? Now, it's one thing to say, well, sure, but it requires preparation. Preparation really matters. Listen to this story. Matthew chapter 25. And by the way, what's expository preaching? Expository preaching is this: helping people to read. All I want to do is help you to read the Word. If I can help you to read the Word, then I will have accomplished what I set out to do, because the Holy Spirit is going to drive it to the heart. The Holy Spirit is going to take this veil and it's going to remove it to the side, and all of a sudden you're going to see right behind there's a mirror. And that mirror is going to show it's you. And God's going to show you some neat things. Verse 1. Then the kingdom of heaven shall be likened to 10 virgins who took the lamps and went to meet the bridegroom. Now 5 of them were foolish, 5 of them were wise, and 5 were foolish. Those who were foolish took their lamps and took no oil with them. But the wise took oil in their vessels with the lamps. But while the bridegroom was delayed, they all slumbered and slept. At midnight, a cry was heard, "Behold, the bridegroom is coming. Go, meet him." Then all the virgins arose and trimmed their lamps. And the foolish said to the wise, "Give us of your oil, for our lamps are going out." But the wise answered, saying, "No, lest there should be not enough for us and you. But go rather to those who sell and buy for yourselves." And while they went to buy, the bridegroom came. And those who were ready went in with him to the wedding, and the door was shut. Afterward, the other virgins came also, saying, "Lord, Lord, open to us." But he answered and said, "Assuredly I say to you, I do not know you. Watch, therefore, for you know neither the day nor the hour in which the Son of Man is coming." Watch, watch. What are we looking at? We're looking at here a family type covenant. By the way, have y'all figured out now why he was in a hurry for building that house? Because you see, in the ancient time, what used to be, people would get engaged. And the groom would go off and he would make ready the house. And they never knew exactly when the groom was come, but they'd have this wedding party. And this wedding party would go to where the virgins were. And all of a sudden, they say, "The groom's coming, the groom's coming." And everybody get excited. And they'd tear out. And all of a sudden, when the house was ready, he went and got his bride. Now, this groom went and got 10 brides. Now, I don't know about that. There's part of the scripture I don't understand, okay? There were 10 virgins there, and then there were 5 who were wise, 5 foolish. By the way, that word 5 wise, who are those who are wise? If you look at the word wise, you could use the word prudent. It comes from the Greek word phronimus, which means thoughtful, discreet, practical, skilled, intelligent with mental. I mean, all of a sudden, a wise person is one who's got it together, intelligent thinking, making preparation. There were 5 wise virgins who made ready for the oil. And by the way, if you think about oil is mentioned many times in the Bible as relating to the Holy Spirit. There were 5 who made ready, and we think about us with Christ. You'll never know Christ if the Holy Spirit doesn't reveal Him to you. And when the Holy Spirit reveals Him to you, then you'll know Him personally. But if you don't have the Spirit, folks, now what I mean by that, when you invite Christ into your life, the Holy Spirit comes in and dwells, and He lives with you. If you don't have Christ living inside of you, if you don't have the Spirit inside of you, then you're really not one of His. So we see the oil there. 5, by the way, there were 5 foolish. Now, the word foolish comes from a word called moros. Moros, a Greek word moros. We get the word moron. Okay? And that's properly translated dull or stupid. Okay? So let me ask you a question. Are you dull? Are you stupid? My mama told me not to call people stupid. So I'll call them a moron. I mean, I'm talking the Greek, okay? And so inside of this, what we're looking at right here, there's two options. You can be wise or you can be foolish. And if you're wise, you're prudent. If you're foolish, you procrastinate. If you're wise, you're phronimos. If you're foolish, you're moros. If you're wise, you're prepared. But if you're not wise, you're going to panic. You're going to panic. Because you see, there's something right here that God wants you to enjoy, connect with, be a part of, making a covenant, a family covenant with the Lord Jesus. But we really got to get ready. We've got to be prepared. We got to have our minds and hearts right so that when He calls out, we'll be ready to make that journey with Him. Well, There's two other factors I want you to capture this before we leave it. One is the fear factor. The fear factor. Matthew 25 verse 12 says, "But he answered and said, Verily I say unto you, I know you not." Verse 25, the fear factor is refusal of entrance. In other words, you might have known who he was. You may have known about him. You might even know where he lives. But if the door's not open, you can't go in. The fear factor is when you didn't make preparations, all of a sudden he's going to say, "Sorry, I don't know you." Now the faith factor, if you look at that, he says in chapter 25, verse 13, he says, "Watch therefore, for ye know neither the day nor the hour when the Son of Man cometh." Now let's carry this one step further, okay? We can in essence be talking about the bride of Christ. Who is the bride of Christ? The church. The church is the bride of Christ. The church is preparing itself to make itself ready, okay, for the coming of the Lord Jesus. And one day, as Brother Jim quoted this morning, one day there's going to be the shout, and the dead in Christ are going to rise, and we which are alive are going to be caught up together and be with the Lord forever. We are the bride of Christ. Secondly, we think about the oil that's found in there. Some had preparation for oil, others did not. The oil, the Holy Spirit, who now comes in and seals us unto the day of redemption. All of this is making your heart and your life ready now to hear that call when he calls. Because all of us, you may have equal access, but oil is required. Oil is required. So in other words, we'd say preparation really matters because it places you in the position to hear the call of Christ. We are joined through the Spirit to make us one with Christ. Okay, are you ready? Are you ready to hear the call? If Jesus spoke today, are your ears in tune? Good. Okay, and I believe they are for so many. And I believe there's many prudent people here. Many wise people here. So all of a sudden you can say, "Boy, let me pull back that veil just a little bit. I have heard the call." So therefore, you've got a family relationship. You've got a relationship with Jesus Christ that will never be broken. You've got a future. But it didn't happen by chance. There was preparation. There was preparation. Okay, now, if we understand now that we've got a relationship, we've got a family covenant with Jesus Christ, we got to carry it to the next level. Now, this next level begins to say, we begin to talk about a worker's commission. And we're going to look at another parable right here, because inside of this worker's commission, you're going to discover the compassion of Christ. Because in the compassion of Christ, you're going to discover that He is going to give each of you who are believers, He's going to give you talents. Talents. Now, do you know what your talent is? Y'all remember those guys up there? They were soccer players. What was their talent? Soccer. What are you good at? Catching fish? Man, use it. Playing baseball? Man, use it. Crocheting? Woman, use it. Okay, I know I could say man, because there's some men that like crochet too. But anyhow, whoever you might be, whatever God has gifted you, however He's wired, let your mind begin to wonder and say, "Okay, God, now you've given me something very special. What am I going to do with it?" Well, let's read about it. Let's pick it up with verse 14. "And the kingdom of heaven is like a man traveling to a far country who called his own servants and delivered his goods to them. And to one he gave 5 talents, to another 2, to another 1, to each according to his own ability, and immediately he went on a journey." I got to stop right there. Did y'all hear those words? He gave each to their own ability. Some of you are 5-talent people. Some of you are 2-talent people. Some of you are 1-talent people. What's the good news? I don't have to respond like a 5-talent. If God gave me 1 talent, that's all He expects out of me. And so therefore, I can use, and you don't have to double, but you do have to multiply. See, God is in the multiplying business. So now here he is. Here's this master. He gave 5 talents to one, 2 to another, and 1 to another, and immediately he left for a journey. Verse 16. Then he who received the 5 talents went and traded with them and made another 5 talents. And likewise, he who had received 2 gained 2 more also. But he who had received 1 talent went and dug in the ground and hid his Lord's money. After a long time, the Lord came to those servants and settled to settle the accounts with them. So he who had received 5 talents came and brought 5 other talents, saying, Lord, you delivered to me 5 talents. Look, I have gained 5 more talents besides them. He said to him, well done, good and faithful servant. You were faithful over a few things. I will make you ruler over many things. Enter into the joy of the Lord, of your Lord. He also, who had received 2 talents, came and said, Lord, you delivered unto me 2 talents. Look, here, I gained 2 more talents besides them. He said, well done, good and faithful servant. You've been faithful over a few things. I will make you ruler over many things. Enter into the joy of your Lord. And then he who had received 1 talent came and said, Lord, I knew you to be a hard man, reaping where you did not sow, gathering where you did not scatter seed. And I was afraid and went and hid your talent in the ground. Look, there, you have what is yours. But his Lord answered, said to him, you wicked and lazy servant, you knew that I reap where I have not sown and gather where I have not scattered seed. So you ought to have deposited my money with the bankers, and at my coming I would have received back mine own with interest. Therefore, take the talent from him and give it to him who has 10 talents. For to everyone who has, more will be given, and he will have abundance. But from him who does not have, even what he has will be taken away. And cast the unprofitable servant into the outer darkness. There will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Have you ever known somebody that was extremely talented and all of a sudden they just had a bad experience and just quit? You know, isn't that kind of sad? In other words, they get afraid. They have a bad experience. So what do? They take what God gave them and they go put it in the ground. Now, there's a fear and a faith factor here I want us to understand. There is a fear factor. The fear factor is this. If we don't multiply what God has given to us, He's going to take it away. And He also said, I'm talking about spiritual gifts. I got to keep that in focus now. I'm talking about talents. If you don't use it, what? You lose it. Takes it away. And so therefore you have that opportunity. And so what He wants to do, however He's wired you, take it and use it and multiply it. It doesn't have to be a 5. You don't have to be a 2. You don't even have to be a 1. All you have to do is multiply. Even just let the interest. So what is God saying? The fear factor is, if you don't take it, multiply it, I'm going to take it away from what you have. And guess what? I'm going to set you aside. And when I set you aside, you're going to be in the quarter where there's weeping and wailing and gnashing of teeth because you didn't take what I gave you and use it for my honor and glory. Now, there's a faith side. The faith side says that if you multiply what I gave you, however I wired you, this is what I'm going to do. I'm going to invite you. I'm going to give you more responsibility, more opportunity, and I'm also going to do this as a sideline. Enter into the joy of my Lord. Isn't that neat? When you take what you have, however God's wired you, and multiply it, you enter into His joy and He blesses you with more opportunities. Oh, you've been faithful over a few. I'll make you faithful over many, many. Now, looking at inside of this, we are commissioned by Christ to use what He has given us to build up the kingdom of God. Because look, possessions really matter. What? Possessions matter? Absolutely. When you get ready to pay your electric bill next week or whenever, do possessions matter? Absolutely. It's a medium, isn't it? Whatever God gave you matters to Him that you multiply it. Oh, take that veil away. Behind that veil, you're going to see a mirror. And you're going to see some interesting things happening. Things that you didn't realize. Hey, by the way, you remember all those dishes that you were washing? For the most part, did you gripe about it? Well, okay, I know there's a few gripers in here. But for the most part, did you gripe about those dishes or you just went on and did it? There was a preacher who used to set up, you know, help set up the chairs, because just like what we used to do at Lake Lowndes, you'd go in on Sunday morning, you'd set the chairs up, and when it was all over with, you'd take the chairs down. You load them up, and then you set it up, and you move on. Well, this preacher got tired of that. And he started saying, Lord, I'm worth more than this. I'm tired of setting up these chairs. And then all of a sudden, a still, small voice came to him and said, who are you setting them up for? And you know what that preacher said? Yes, Lord. And he got him another chair. Didn't have to worry about it anymore. Who are you washing those dishes for? Who are you changing those diapers for? Who are you punching that clock for? Who are you playing that ball game for? Whatever it is, when it's building up with the kingdom of God, hey, it's multiplication. And God, you be faithful here, and God will give you more opportunity. By the way, some of us are not five talents. Let me go back to that. Blue Mountain College. There was a guy named Randy Bostic. That guy could play second base like you wouldn't believe. He was talented. He could preach the skies down. And I always wondered, Lord, why could I not do something like that? Why could I not play like that? But you know what? Took me a few years to realize this, many years to realize this. He didn't wire me like Randy Bostic. He wired me like Robert Gillis. And he said, Robert, I want you to go to work for Dutch Oil Company. Yes, Lord. And I just want you to, I want you to feed your family with Dutch. And I want you to love the people at State Line Baptist. And folks, I do. I got to admit, though, somebody gave me the big head. There was a preacher in this room. Y'all don't know who he is. He's actually a doctor, but I won't tell you. There's a preacher in this room who said, you know, Robert, there's hundreds of preachers that like to have a church like this. All I said was, yeah. Because you know what? Isn't it neat to come and love people? Isn't it neat to come and have happiness? Isn't it neat to come and have a smile on your face? Oh, it's so much fun to see souls saved and people get happy. Because you know what they did? They took the veil out. And behind the veil there was a mirror and they saw their face. But right behind their face, there was somebody else. Couldn't quite make it out, but it looked like Jesus. It looked like Jesus. See, that's what God's got done for you. That's what He's. I mean, when you start moving that veil and see how God really wired you, all of a sudden you're going to put that jet fuel in that lawnmower. I'm telling you, it's a multiplication. Now James tells us here. He says, look. Be ye doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. We are to be active in doing what God wants us to do. We don't need to hear the naysayers. We need to hear the go get it. Are y'all go get it or naysayer? Y'all know the difference? Okay. It was 12 guys that were told to go across over the Jordan River, go into the land of Canaan, and he said, I want you to look it out, and then y'all bring back a report. These 12 guys did. Man, two of them came back with this long pole. There was grapes. I mean, from the top hanging it down. It was so heavy they had so much fruit. They said, man, this is one of the greatest places you could ever go to. Man, let's go. Let's cross over. Let's go in, cross over the Jordan, go into Canaan, and let's do it. Man, I'm ready. But there was 10 other guys that came along and said, yep, the fruit's in there, but there's giants in the land. And we are like grasshoppers. And if we go into the land, they're going to consume us and eat us alive. We can't go in there. Oh, you know what God did? God says, okay, big boys, you asked for it, and you got it. Y'all go back out in the wilderness. And for 40 years, They wandered around because they didn't believe that God was big enough. Sometimes we don't believe God is big enough. He's wired you. He's talented you. And when He says cross over, you don't look at the Giants. You don't look at the Dodgers either. Okay? You don't look. You just go on in. Okay? That's what God wants you to do. Now, why? Why? Look at this. Here's your competence. He says we are commissioned by Christ to use what He has given us to build up the kingdom of God. Now, a family covenant places us in a position to receive a worker's commission. All right? A family covenant. I'm in the body of Christ. I have now received a worker's commission. I'm going to take what I've got and I'm going to use it for His glory. And that leads us to the last point. I want you to see this. As we pick it up with verse 31 through 46, I'm going to read it. Sometimes, you know, I used to think about, boy, when somebody reads, it's kind of long and you're ready for them to get through reading it. But you know what? This is God's Word. And when you just read God's Word, man, there's life in it. So let's just take the moment. Read the Word. When the Son of Man comes in His glory, verse 31, and all the holy angels with Him, and He will sit on the throne of His glory, and all the nations will be gathered before Him, and He will separate them one from another as a shepherd divides his sheep from the goats. And He will set the sheep on His right hand, but the goats on His left hand. Then the King will say to those on His right hand, come, blessed be of My Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. Hey, did you get that part? Let's don't go beyond that. There's a kingdom prepared for you when? When was it? From the foundation of the world. My goodness. That tells us it's ready, folks. It's ready. And then He goes on to say, verse 34, then the King will say to those who are on the right hand, come and inherit the blessing of My Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. For I was hungry, and You gave Me food. I was thirsty, and You gave Me drink. I was a stranger, and You took Me in. I was naked, and You clothed Me. I was sick, and You visited Me. I was in prison, and You came to Me. Then the righteous answered Him, saying, Lord, when did we see You hungry and feed You, or thirsty and give You drink? When did we see You a stranger and take You in, or naked and clothe You? Or when did we see You sick or in prison and come to You? And the King will answer and say to them, assuredly, as I say, inasmuch as You've done it unto the one of least of these, My brethren, You've done it unto Me. One of the most amazing things that's happened. You're multiplying your talents and you don't even know it. You are multiplying your talents and you don't even know it. Well, if we knew it, we might get a little bit ahead and high-minded. That's called big head, okay? We might get, but most for the most part, you are doing so many things that if you pull the veil away and you saw in the mirror and you saw the one standing behind you, all of a sudden, you would see somebody that was hungry. Oh, yeah, I gave them a drink. Somebody was thirsty. Oh, yeah, I bought their lunch. Oh, yeah, I took them some angel food. Oh, yeah, I did give them a coat. Oh, yeah, I did go to the hospital and visit. Yeah, I went next door. He was sick. Oh, yeah, I went to the prison. I visited. I did. So what? You see, you might say, so what? But you know what God says? God says, so what? You've done this unto Me. Now, let's go on. That's the faith side. Let's look at the fear side. Verse 41. Then He will say to those on the left hand, depart from Me, you cursed, into everlasting fire prepared for the devil and his angels. For I was hungry, and You gave Me no food. I was thirsty, and You gave Me no drink. I was a stranger, and You did not take Me in. Naked, and You did not clothe Me. Sick, and in prison, and You did not visit Me. Then they also will answer Him, saying, Lord, When did we see you hungry or thirsty or a stranger or naked or sick or in prison and did not minister to you? And he will answer and say, assuredly as I say to you, inasmuch as you've done it unto one of the least of these, you've done it unto me. Fear factor kicks in. And these will go away into everlasting punishment, but the righteous into eternal life. Whoa. Right hand, eternal life. Left hand, the fires of hell. How do you know what you are? Look at your character. If you got the character of Christ, then you'll be kind. If you don't have the character of Christ, you'll be cruel. And when you had the opportunity to take somebody in or you had the opportunity to feed somebody, you said, it's not my place. It's not for me. What does God want us to do? What does He say? Boy, He starts out here and He's telling us, look, people really matter. You got to have a servant's heart. The way you treat people is an indicator of the road that you're traveling. The narrow road leads to heaven. The broad road leads to hell. And so there's a positioning right here. Global positioning, right hand, left hand. Two groups, sheep and goats. But then the starter, the food, the water, the shelter, the clothing, the sick. All of these things are happening right there. So, are you going to show? Are you going to go? Are you going to show the world the character of Christ in you? Or are you going to go the way of the world and burn in the fires of hell? It really boils down to that. What are you going to do? Now, works don't get you into heaven. But let me tell you, if you don't have works, you're not going. Because when Christ's character comes in, what He asks you to do is to take the talents that I've given you and multiply them. And we're all talented different. And by the way, we're spiritually gifted different too. That's another day for discussion. But what are you going to do today? Let's just kind of conclude this morning by thinking along these words, being prepared, being prepared. Enter to the kingdom, foundation prepared for the foundation of God. There's a perfect plan, or to go to a place prepared for the devil and his angels. Points to ponder? Well, people who have the character of Christ serve without even knowing the value of that. Now, how does that work? Let's put some feet on this, okay? You ready? Let's put some feet on this. In just a few weeks, we're going to be taking a trip down to Dominican Republic. Five of us are going, 10 from a sister church, going to go. And one of the things we're going to be doing, we're going to be taking food. And now this is a tricky question. Y'all ready for this? Okay, when I tell you a tricky question, it's tricky, okay? Tricky question. Would you like to go? This means yes. This means no. Okay, good. All right, for those of you who said yes, I understand this year that maybe your passport wasn't ready and you couldn't go. But I've got good news for you. There is a way for you to go. And how is that? By converting your work into dollars. And you can say, oh boy, you're going to start preaching on money? You know I don't do that too much, but I need to more. But anyhow, convert. Convert your work into dollars. Now, what are you going to do? Because when you convert your work into dollars, then we will take those dollars and buy food and feed some people in the Dominican Republic and in Haiti. We're going to both countries. You won't feed everybody, but you'll feed somebody. And you can say, well, wait a minute, I can't do that. Well, let me give you another option then. Because see, you could take 1 hour if you're a laborer and maybe you make $10 an hour. 1 hour. And then all of a sudden you convert that into money and then we convert that into food and then you fed. But you went there. Well, let me give you another option. Have you ever tried fasting all week? Just during the daylight hours? And if you fasted and then the money that you save from not buying lunch, buy food for the Dominican Republic. Oh, I can do that. Yeah, you can. So maybe you want to work an hour. Or maybe you want to fast an hour. Or you say, I say I want to go. I don't know how to go. Well, here's some ways to go. And Miss Becky today, let's establish a fund. And they can write on their offering envelopes, Dominican Republic. and all that money will go for buying food. Okay? So we'll do that. And we'll start for the next few weeks so that you can go on that mission trip by converting your time and energy into feeding people. Now, that's only one thing. What are the big six? I'm going to give you an A-plus if you'll answer the big six. What are the big six? We went over them. Were they on the screen, Larry? Did we go with the big six? Food, shelter, clothing, sickness, jail, and what? Water. Wow. Can you do that? Yes, you can. Isn't that amazing? All of a sudden, we're now taking that veil and we're seeing your face with Christ behind you, and He says to you, "Well done, good and faithful servant." You've been a blessing over a few things. I'm going to make you ruler over me. Every one of us can participate. And it's not just overseas, folks. Remember, the need is increasing right here at home. Right here at home. Let me give you one way. One way that you can increase. I went shopping yesterday. Boy, that was an experience. I went shopping at Kroger's, okay? Because we've been telling people you can, you know, for $30, you can get $60 worth of food. Well, I did it. I went shopping and I looked it up, and if you, depending on whether you took the special or not, it would be between $55 and $63, okay, for the angel food. And so therefore, what you could say $25 to $30. Last angel food, there was a young couple that walked out and said this. They said, "The reason we're doing angel food is so that we can save money to give to our church." Wow. Yesterday, when we were taking orders, there was a senior citizen came in and she said, "Man, the reason I do this is because you can't buy food any place for this price." And she says, "And it's good." There's a secret going on here, folks. There's a secret. We can't feed everybody. We can feed somebody. We can't help everybody, but we can feed some. We can help some. Is it clothing? Is it food? Is it knowledge? Is it work? Is it play? Is it a soccer team? However God's wired you, use it for His kingdom. And this is what happened. He'll make you an established with your relationship with God. You'll have this covenant relationship with God. And then He'll give you a work commission. And after He gives you a work commission, then He's going to take you to the community and you'll be His servant. And one day He'll say, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant." Let's pray. Father, as we come before You this morning, remove the screen. Take the veil away. Let us look behind it. There are so many who are doing so much in here. And they don't even realize it. Father, bless them for their efforts. For the one talent people, for the two talent, for the five talent. God, bless them for their efforts. And for those who are not ready, help them to get ready. Because if we're not prepared to hear Jesus speak to us, then we're going to miss out on that blessing. And if our heart's not right, then we may not receive that work commission. And if we don't faithfully serve You, then Lord, You may not send us out in the community. Oh Lord, use all of these things in our life so that You might be praised and honored and glorified. Lord, it's all about You. And we want to get in on the team. And yes, Lord, we want to sing victory in Jesus. We want to get in on Your team and be found faithful. In Jesus' name, amen. Today we give you an opportunity. What's that opportunity? Opportunity is to say, "Okay, Lord, here's the talents that I know I have, and I give them to You. I don't know what your talent is, but You can commit that. Prayer altar is going to be open. Hey, you may nudge that person next door to you and say, hey, look, let's do it. Let's get involved in it. Hey, there may be somebody in here that needs to team up, just like those three on that soccer team. You need to team up. You need to team up. But it all begins with the preparation of the heart. Do you know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior? Do you know Him? Has the Spirit issued a call to you, and have you received it? If you have, then you're ready to go to the next level, to the work and to the community. But if you haven't, I'm going to ask you to just come down and say, Robert, I want Jesus. That's all you have to say. Robert, I want Jesus. And when you come, I'll share with you what God says, okay, in His Word. All you have to say is, Robert, I want Jesus. I want you to come and let's talk. Prayer altars are going to be open. Commitments are going to be made. What's God saying for you to do this morning? Let's stand together and sing.